Hey, you guys, what is up? Welcome back to Gals on the Go. It is another week. It's mid-April now. This week, you just have me. It's Brooke. I'm going to start off this episode with a little bit of like a life update, I guess, solo portion. But this episode, I'm so excited because I'm going to be joined by my dad. And this is something that Danielle and I haven't done yet. We've done episodes with our moms and our brothers and a bunch of friends and people in our personal lives. And you guys really tend to like these episodes. Well, Danielle did an episode with her boyfriend too. So we've introduced a lot of people to you guys, and those episodes always tend to do really well because I feel like it's exposing you guys to a little bit more of who we are. And my dad isn't like a huge social media guy at all. I think the only form of social media he has is Twitter, which is just so ironic. But we're going to kind of dive into some more like family topics and stuff like that in a little bit when I have him on, which I'm so excited for. And Danielle, of course, will be doing an episode with her dad in a few weeks from now too. This was highly requested by you guys, and I think that it will be fun because I feel like those are people who, you know, they're in our vlogs and stuff like that, but it will be fun to kind of dive a little bit deeper with them. And I know that my dad and Danielle's dad are such like huge supporters of us and like the podcast and everything. So we're so excited about that. But with all that being said, I feel like I needed to give you guys a little bit of an update because last week, last Wednesday was my birthday. So the last episode, I turned 23, which is actually insane. I don't feel like I'm 23, and every year it gets older and older in my head that I'm like, you know, like 24 is really old, or like, end quote, like really old. This is all like relative to me just like justifying in my head that I'm not actually like getting older. In my brain, I'm like frozen at like 18 forever, but you know, that's just not the reality. I'm looking at like my parents did the most, but one of the gifts that they got me, it's not even a gift, it was like a prop, was like this 23 birthday tiara they ordered online. And I'm looking at it right now, and the number 23 looks kind of weird. 22 was like a better, 22 was a great year. Honestly, probably the best and the worst year of my life was 22. Mostly the best, I would say, but a lot of lowlights in there too. But I feel like those are always the years that you remember the most. The ones that you have, it's so jam packed that it has such good stuff and such bad stuff kind of going on, and like just a lot of change for better or for worse. So yeah, this is crazy. I'm officially 23. I wanted to say a special thank you to everybody in my life for my birthday. I really had low expectations, honestly, the lowest of expectations, which I definitely should not have had because my family knows, and my family and everybody in my life knows how much I love my birthday. So I think everyone kind of collaborated and made it super special. So wow, you guys, I woke up with the house decorated. That was a surprise. So I woke up and my mom brought me iced coffee. She's like, oh my gosh, here's your iced coffee. And then I opened the door and I saw these balloons. They got like all of the supplies delivered to the house and like set it all up here. I don't even know how they did it. They woke up early, I guess, and set it all up. It was so special. And then I went downstairs and there were more balloons and banners and things like that. And I just felt so special and loved. And of course we did cake and everything here. But I guess then I woke up to a text from Danielle that said like, happy birthday, Brooke. Open me. And it was a Google Drive link to a 16-minute long video. And Danielle did the most, the best business partner, gal on the go ever. Like, this was the most special gift. And especially during these times, this is literally all I could have asked for. So she rounded up, she made this video with, I mean, she literally asked my parents and like my family to be in it, friends from school, friends from Boston, friends from home here on Long Island, friends from YouTube and social media. So there were literally friends from every single walk of my life in it. And, you know, some people shared more extended messages. Some people said their favorite memories. So it made me laugh. I was crying. It was so incredibly special. And I think for my sweet 16, we did like a video, but I love video gifts like that. I think they're so unique and I love being asked to do them even for my friends. I know Taylor did one for Gretchen that I was asked to be in, and I was like, this is so special, you know, being in someone else's birthday video, because then they'll save it forever. And like, I love that I'll have that forever, and that, you know, 5 years from now I can look back on it, and it's just so, it's so great and made me feel so loved. And like I said, the best gift I could have had for right now. And Danielle is just the best. So many surprises, I guess, all over social media, so many people posting. And honestly, I am the worst. I keep track, not track. I'm not like over here, like writing people's name with a checklist, but like, I remember, you know, who wishes me a happy birthday and who doesn't, of course. I mean, I'm not like that. I don't think that's that crazy, you know, especially when you could reference old text with someone, they text you for something and you scroll up and you're like, wait, you didn't wish me a happy birthday. Like, okay. So, but I had an overwhelming amount of people reach out with the birthday messages this year, and it was just so sweet and so thoughtful, and it made me feel so loved at this time. I think that we're all kind of dealing with that a lot and kind of getting in your own head and feeling weird because we're all really isolated from each other. And while, yeah, we have tools like FaceTime and Zoom and social media, of course, but you do feel so isolated. Like, I haven't seen these people in 5 weeks from now. So 5 weeks from now, 5 weeks, it's at least, you know, probably even more. Many of my friends from school I haven't seen since we graduated, which is just too long. But anyways, I just felt so special and thankful. So thank you, Danielle, for all of that. And then I guess the final birthday surprise. Well, there's two more. Okay. So then the next birthday surprise, which was so special. Also, 23 isn't even that special of a birthday. So that's what really made it all this so great. Like, I feel like 16, 18, 21. Those are pretty big birthdays. I guess what's the next one? Like 25? Because then, like, I feel like the fives and the zeros are big ones. Like 30, obviously, is a big one. Oh my gosh, 30. That's a scary age. I don't know why I'm so scared of getting older. I think it's just because I love being able to say things and be like, oh, like, I'm only 23. Ha ha ha. Which is so dumb and like something that I need to get over. But I think that's just because of, like, I don't know. That's something that I have to work through, I guess. I don't really know. Is anybody else like that? You just love blaming things on your age? Like, when I make a stupid decision in the past, I've been like, LOL, like, I'm 22. I'm so stupid. Haha. But I guess I need to get over that. All right. Anyways. So where else was I going with the story? Oh, then I this was so crazy. So I worked out, and then I was just like around the house and like lounging in my like workout clothes. And then finally I was like, all right, time to shower. So I went upstairs in my room to shower, and I got a text from my best friend from home, Danielle, who her name is also Danielle. It's not Danielle, who Carolyn, who I did the podcast with. She's in Florida with her family. So then my best friend from home, Danielle, texted me like, come outside, all caps. And I thought that like maybe her and her boyfriend Mike would be driving by or something and like shot out the window, or maybe they left something outside. I really didn't even know what I was thinking. So I like went outside, and then I hear all this honking and craziness, and there was literally, you guys, a row of like, I think it was 9 or 10 cars of my friends from home, because everyone obviously is social distancing. So Mike and Danielle were together because they've been dating for like 5 years, but everybody else was in their individual cars. And it was just so incredible. They had signs made. Some of them had balloons. Like, it was just so special. And they drove by and like kept doing the loop by, and everyone on my street came out and was like videoing it and stuff. I did vlog, so that will be in the vlog on my YouTube channel, which is just youtube.com/BrookeMaggio. A plug there, which you should also follow me on Instagram, because I put that on my Instagram story, and so many of you guys replied like, wait, how do you have so many friends? And it really did make me realize, not like, I don't think the quantity matters at all, but I think it's so easy to overlook friendships in your life. And my friends from home have always just been like my biggest supporters and like truly like the backbone of who I've become. So I'm so thankful for them. And like, that was just such a, it was really, that was like the most genuine surprise ever. And normally I don't like surprises just because I just want to know right away. So I'm so glad that they kept that a secret, and it really was a surprise. And then it was actually my friend Casey's birthday today when I'm recording this podcast, and we drove by her house and did the same thing. So like, we just, you know, did a little parade, didn't get out of the car or anything, but it's just like waving and like screaming hi from the window and stuff. It's a way to make this social distancing time a little bit brighter, I guess, because it's hard, you know. And even seeing them, I was like, whoa, I haven't seen you guys in so long. Like, it felt like forever. Or even just seeing people in general, it made me feel so weird. And then so that was just so special of them, and I was so appreciative. And then showered my birthday routine. No, but then I really came inside, got ready for nighttime. Of course, I don't even think I put on makeup on my birthday, you guys. I literally changed from like different pairs of sweatpants. I like have been working out again, so I wore workout clothes at some point. And then I went downstairs. My mom made like a great birthday dinner, and then they sent me upstairs and they said, we have a surprise. And then I went back downstairs and they got me a pinata, and it was so fun. We were whacking at it. Me, my mom, and my brother all got to like get swings at it. It broke pretty easily, but they filled it with all yummy candy, and then we ate some cake. My dad, love you, dad, tried to make a cake and failed, so then they had to go buy a cake. But it's okay. It was still such a special birthday. And yeah, like, honestly, just like, it's definitely gonna be the most memorable, of course, because we're gonna remember this quarantine time of our life forever, truly. Let's be real. Like, I feel like I'm gonna have kids someday and look back and be like, oh my gosh, remember those, like, hopefully it's not much longer, but you know what I mean? Remember those times when we like couldn't really leave our house, or like my 23rd birthday. Wow. I feel like that. I like, my uncle is a teacher, and he's texted me and he's like, we're literally living history right now. You know, like, they teach us about like the Cold War and World War II, all these wars. It doesn't have to be a war. That was so tragic. Oh my gosh. But I mean, it essentially is, because there's so many lives lost through all this, that it basically, like, the amount of lives that we're losing is like, it's crazy. Like, whatever. So I guess then we'll pivot to that point, because this isn't even highlights in the lights. This is just like a little life update. Yeah, this was such a mixed emotions week for me, because I literally had my birthday, which was the best day probably in quarantine so far, no doubt. You know, I felt so loved and thankful. And oh, and then the podcast episode last week, you guys, the amount of love that we got from you guys and people hitting me up in my personal life that were like, oh my gosh, what a great episode, or you guys on the Facebook group. Like, I just felt so confident with that episode. I also, an update, I did not receive any texts with threats, so they will continue the little personal stories and things like that. I mean, I shared pretty much everything that I have to share up until this point, but I love being vulnerable and open with you guys. I just changed my Instagram bio to CEO of oversharing. I am losing my mind. Follow me on Instagram at Brooke Mencio. I hate myself. I'm close to 100K though, so I'm trying to get there, you guys, please. Okay, so yeah, that was like the best day ever, the Wednesday. And Daniel and I always love content days like that. We also dropped merch last week, which was so special because it sold out so quickly. I think we have a few of the cropped hoodies left, so go snag those if you see your size or whatever. But I know that a lot of you guys were like, oh my gosh, I missed it. I literally woke up and it was sold out. So, because we came out with some sick tie-dye hoodies, and I will say those will be back next week. You're gonna have to follow us on Instagram and social media to get the exact time of when those will be released, because we're gonna try to set a time on it this time. Usually we just say like, oh, Wednesday, you know, when the episode goes up, but usually the episode releases at midnight Eastern time, and some of you guys I know are sleeping and stuff like that, or you just don't have an alarm set for the episode to release. Obviously you're probably a normal person and not like new gals on the go like at midnight, so we are going to plan that a little bit better. But just know that that will be coming next week. So if you missed the tie-dye, it's coming back, and we ordered more, don't worry, because I know that sold out like really, really quickly, so there will be plenty for everyone. So yeah, that was the best day ever. And then other than that, I've just been struggling a little bit, I think, with all of this. I do like recognize my privilege, and like, through, I don't want to talk too much about like the quarantine and like everything going on, because I think Danielle and I have touched on it a lot, and I know a lot of you guys come to our podcast and to our social media channels to escape and to feel better and positive and be like, yay, happy, good vibes. But I think it's important to know that like, it's cool to feel down too, and I know Danielle's been feeling kind of down about it, but I kind of like hit my point this week. I just like kind of snapped. I was like, I am over this, quite frankly, and I know my privilege to work from home and whatever, but I think we're all just getting a little antsy, you know? And New York, it's really bad here, of course. This is like one of the, I think it's the worst state in terms of the infection rate and things like that. I love you, Governor Cuomo. he speaks every day. We watch it every day. But seriously, they keep extending it. So they just extended again to May 15th. I just have a feeling it will be extended again. And yeah, a lot of people are asking, you know, what are you doing? Are you going to go back to Boston? When, you know, what's happening? Because my lease is up in June. I think I'm extending it, but I don't know for sure, you guys. I don't have a definite plan at all. I'm really all over the place, but I know I need to get back up there at some point to kind of put things in order. I left stuff in my fridge, we know. But luckily I do live alone, so I could just like go and take a drive up there and like deal with things and like kind of drive back down. I don't really even have to interact with anybody, so I have to figure that all out, because I don't really know what's happening with that. And I think a lot of people are dealing with that. You know, if you have two homes, I was talking to my mom about this, a lot of people who maybe if you have a college apartment or if you're post-grad and you're quarantining with your family, you might be dealing with that too. And I think it's a really difficult situation because I think there's a lot of shaming right now on the internet, you know, of people who are choosing to quarantine in a specific place or whatever it may be. Like everyone loves to share their opinion, like you shouldn't be quarantining there or whatever it is. So I think of everything I do and I think of, you know, what people on the internet are going to say about it. So I just get like, I get myself kind of worked up about it. But I have to figure out what's best for me. And that will probably be like a decision I make this week. But at the same time, it's been great with my family. I feel like I am in high school, middle school again. You know, my mom helps me make my bed. She does my laundry. I can't complain. I get the most amazing dinners every night. Tonight we're drinking wine and going to make a cheese board. Like I really can't complain, but I do think that we're all just getting a little antsy for our lives back. And honestly, I see people on social media quarantining with their friends and I get jealous just like anybody else. I don't even have a significant other in my life, but I see people quarantining with their significant other and I'm jealous too. And I think that's normal to feel those things. And I want everyone to know that like it's not always sunshine and rainbows, and like it's cool to like have the best day in quarantine and then it's cool to have the worst day in quarantine in consecutive days. Like it doesn't matter, and you're allowed to feel your feelings however you want them to be felt. So just do that. Seriously. So yeah, I think that's really it for the personal update for me. I don't really have too many updates. Maybe next week I'll have some more consecutive ones. But I just wanted to say thank you guys so much. Also, thanks to all of you if you wish me a happy birthday, or thanks to all of you guys for the support in general on the podcast. I'm really happy with the direction we're going in and the merch and everything. You guys are just truly, truly killing the game. And I wanted to say that I am thinking of all of you guys, truly. So I want you guys to enjoy this episode with my dad. We're going to hop right into it. I know that this was kind of a long intro, but I love you guys so much and enjoy. Are you stuck at home, feeling isolated, worried about the state of things? BetterHelp offers online professional counselors who can help. You can talk to a licensed online therapist and find relief. BetterHelp therapists specialize in issues such as depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, insomnia, family conflicts, and more. You'll connect with a counselor in a safe and private online environment, and anything you share is confidential. Simply fill out a questionnaire to help you assess your needs and get matched with a counselor you'll love in less than 24 hours. You guys can easily schedule secure video or phone sessions with your therapist, plus exchange unlimited messages. And if for any reason at all you are unhappy with your counselor, you can request a new one at any time for no additional charge. You guys can get professional help when you want it, wherever you are. So this is great if you guys are at home. I know that I've had times of uncertainty in this time, and I've definitely wanted to reach out to someone, and BetterHelp is it, you guys. BetterHelp is truly an affordable option, and our listeners are going to get 10% off your first month with the discount code GALS. So why not get started today? Go to betterhelp.com/gals. That's betterhelp.com/gals. Talk to a therapist online and get help. All right, guys. So here we are. We're here with my dad now. What's up?
Hello, everybody.
Are you nervous? This is your first time doing anything.
This is very new for me.
Doing something like this. But you listen to a lot of podcasts.
Yes, I listen to podcasts, and I listen to your podcast quite often.
Ooh.
Yes, I do. I only listen usually when mom's around. We'll listen together.
Yeah.
Because I find that if I listen too much, that I'm kind of like forfeiting my man card.
Like I can't, because it's a lot of girly content.
So when I'm by myself and I listen to it, that's a rare occasion.
I see what you mean. But when you and mom go for long drives, you listen together.
Yes, and I do enjoy it.
And you yourself listen to like more like comedy podcasts, I feel like, right?
Comedy mostly, yeah.
Big comedy guy.
Yeah. I wanted to preface this. I was thinking about us doing the podcast. And I was thinking about, you know, me as like a public speaker and my experiences in life. So I think it was maybe like 11th or 12th grade. And I took I'll call it a public speaking class. It was like an English class or whatever. And I took the class, and then the teacher was explaining the class early on, like what, you know, about like the parameters and things. And he was talking about saying there's a certain percentage of people that would prefer to like either die or like hide under their desk or do anything rather than to public speak or do any of that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's me.
Yeah, you're not a big public speaker. That's
crazy.
No,
it's not even that.
Yeah.
It's like uncomfortable. Like I hear, like I listen to a lot of different podcasts and people say, you know, I had to go up in front of a crowd and give a speech and I was uncomfortable or whatever. It's not even that. It's the next level of like
you're like, I really would rather do so many other things.
More than that. Like,
wow.
Like I'm sick. Like I might pass out.
Right now?
No. Not now.
Okay,
but like,
okay.
There's been occasions where
I
had to get up and speak about things where I wasn't necessarily comfortable in doing so. And I was just very uncomfortable, more so than I should have been.
So I get that.
I'm putting myself in that category of people that I'd rather be behind the camera.
You're one of those people.
Or holding the microphone for somebody rather than
to be
that person.
That's so nice. But you are that person, though. My dad is very, like, supportive of others, especially, like, me, my mom, my brother, of course. Like, you have always been that person. But that makes sense. But I think you do, and everybody, my dad is so, like, highly respected by, like, the family, the community, like, our friends. Like, you know that you are. So I think it's interesting hearing you say that.
And I joked about it, but multiple people have told me to run for like mayor in our little community here.
Because he knows everyone.
And I would actually do that. But then I think like, oh man, I'd have to get up and make a speech, you know, so I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Like, and it would be uncomfortable.
Because I think like the actual work element of it, you'd be so great at
I think I would enjoy it. And it probably goes back to even, you know, in my career as being, you know, I'm a retired lieutenant or a firefighter from New York City. So I'm retired in that. And there was a short stint where I actually did some work at the training academy. And I actually enjoyed that because it was something that I was able to get up and speak to guys about things that I was really passionate about and that I really knew, that I thought I knew really well. So that made it a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to get up and talk to people like that, you know? So,
so that's why you would consider it, but public speaking is not your thing. This is way more relaxed though, than public speaking.
Yeah.
Would you agree? Like it's,
yeah, I'm actually, yeah.
It's just a conversation, but you just hold a thing.
Yeah,
like
it's good.
That's why Sal was like, my brother, this is the same deal. He was like, I don't really like to be in the vlogs, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which I guess my dad's going to be like readjusting a few times throughout this because he's been having some back problems.
All right. So what do we got? What's cooking?
Yeah. So, well, okay. I guess since we were talking about everything, a lot of people are like, why haven't you kind of been like a character or of sorts in my vlogs and things like that? Because I've been on YouTube for so many years and I feel like just now you're like recently kind of in my vlogs because I'm home and like all that stuff. But I feel like it's different than even Danielle's family, where I know you don't like really watch Danielle's vlogs at all. I don't even know
I've
if you've ever.
Them.
You
sure.
have.
Oh, yeah.
yeah. Okay. Well, when she's home, it's like her mom and her dad, I would almost argue, are in the videos equally.
Yeah. So that goes back to what I said earlier. I would rather crawl under a rock than be in it. So the reason people haven't seen me is because I avoid it. I don't want to be there. But like when you used to do meetups and go to the city,
yeah.
I'm glad to
oh,
go.
Oh yeah, you're such
a
big supporter.
And
yeah.
I would rather be like, okay, get you set up and then just kind of like go around the corner and just hang out. I'm not the type that wants to.
Versus mom is like, I want to be in the pic.
Yeah, she's basically going there so she could be. Exactly. Yeah. So I am the opposite.
So people know
the way Brooke is, I'm pretty much the opposite.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy that, but then my mom is more like me. So I guess that makes sense.
Exactly.
Why we are. And then Sal's kind of more like you. That actually makes sense. Sal's a little in between, I would say.
Yeah. I was surprised because he had, with his lacrosse success that he had in the last couple of years, he had to do a bunch of interviews that were just like spur of the moment after a game or whatever, where he got up in front of somebody.
Like sideline stuff.
It wasn't just a video. It wasn't just an like audio. It was somebody that would take like a local video of him. And I was really surprised how well he did.
So well.
Yeah.
Like we were
way better
shocked.
Than I would have been.
I know. And just like his word choices and stuff. We were like, Sal, I didn't even know you knew that word.
He has a brain. Holy mackerel.
He's good on camera though. He's very outgoing, but he also is, he's like you in the sense where he's like, I don't want to be on camera, but he would be great on camera, which is really interesting. I think you're the same way though. So yeah, that's kind of why I feel like my dad's just not I wanted to talk about social media before we get into like more about you stuff, because I think this is so interesting too. My dad, you guys, is like not on social media.
No.
You are honestly probably the only person I've ever met that like doesn't have a Facebook, doesn't have, I mean, you have a Twitter now, which is just the wildest thing to me.
I love Twitter.
Me too. No, what's your logic behind that, I guess?
It's a good question, because I guess your mother always kept me in touch that way.
Yeah.
And I never really had any interest in doing so. And it's not that I'm not social. I like people. You know, I have my closest friends are my friends that I've had from elementary school mm-hmm. and kindergarten yep. and second grade. Like, those are my best friends that I talk to almost on a daily basis. Not a daily, but, you know, weekly, whatever. We stay in touch and
texting and stuff.
So I never, I just don't have any interest in it. I really don't. I mean, I have an email account. I email people.
Of course.
And I did, I started with Twitter maybe.
That was like a year ago, I think.
No, that was a couple of weeks ago. Like, I just started.
Oh, but you started tweeting and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, that was the first year.
But I remember it was Sal's lacrosse season last year. You were like, oh, all these comedians I follow are on Twitter.
Oh.
Do you not remember? I remember we were in the car driving to a game.
That's when I started doing podcasts last year, too, listening.
Oh, okay. So maybe that was, but then you realized that Twitter was a way to, like, kind of congregate all the information into one feed.
Yeah.
That's the benefit of social media, is that, like, the people who you care about keeping up with, you can see all their posts.
Yes. And
so now do you see it?
Yeah, and that's what people that know, I would say 50% of my friends are like me.
Okay.
They don't have any social media. So I tell them that I'm on Twitter. They're like, holy mackerels. That's wow. Like, you're ready to go to the moon. Yeah. And then the other 50% of the people just make fun of me because I don't have it. You know, because I don't have Facebook and you don't keep up with everybody from high school and whatever. And it's not that I'm not interested. I don't know. It's just not my thing.
No, I think it's perfectly respectable to feel that way. I just think it's so interesting. And then having a daughter who's literally so wildly on social media, like, the contrast there is just funny.
Yeah. But I also pride myself on having my original email account.
Yeah, like, he uses AOL. Yeah.
Like, I got that, that had to be in the 90s. And I kept that. I don't have any other
When you guys, like, would download AOL to your computer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I still have that. And for some odd reason, I have pride in that I have AOL. When I see somebody else with AOL, I'm like, oh, man.
Vintage.
Wow, another AOL person.
Yeah, because I feel like most people moved over to, like, Gmail. Because then there was, like, that brief stint with Yahoo. But now everyone's on Gmail, pretty much.
I see a lot of Gmail, right? Yeah. So Gmail.
So I guess AOL. That's just kind of what you're used to, essentially, like, the social media thing is what you're saying. I feel like your brothers.
Yes.
My dad has two brothers and a sister, and you're the youngest.
Yes.
And so they're all, like, my aunts and uncles, and that's, like, the family that we do Christmas with and everything. So that's, like, we really spend, I would say, majority of the time with your side of the family. And they are not really big social media people either, I guess. That kind of, So it kind of makes sense that you are the way you are.
They're more like hands-on worker bees.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're like they're more like technical building things, carpenters, engineers, stuff like that. Well, not that they can't, you know, have technology.
They don't understand
technology, but I don't know that they're that concerned about staying in touch to that degree with everybody, meaning like Facebook and things like that. Even if you told me, "Listen, let's start up a Facebook," I wouldn't even know what to do, and
it's a little late now.
I have zero desire.
I see what you mean.
Yeah, I'm good with Twitter for now.
I think it's interesting. And then you see some, we know people who are couples and they have like a conjoined Facebook, and that is certainly not the case. Like, my mom has her own.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, you have your own thing.
Yeah.
So I think that's
like, I have friends that have accounts, and I'm like even like certain people have shared email accounts, like, sometimes.
It's really?
Like, yes. And then you email them, and then like the husband or wife. Email you back.
I didn't really intend
for you to
read,
see that
message. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, that's odd.
It's not common, but it's happened. You've never had that?
Not a shared email, but I've definitely seen shared Facebooks. Or I've seen, this is a new thing. I have a friend, an old friend from college who got engaged, and she has now a family, like, her and her like husband now have like a family account together, and like they're having a kid. So it's like the blah, blah, blah family. Yeah. I'm like, what? Like an Instagram. And I guess that's common, because then you post like pictures of your family and stuff, but it's like, it's private. So only a certain number of people can follow it. It's not like for the purpose of becoming famous or something. Mm. It's just, but I guess that's the pro of social media too, is that if people do care about your life in that way, you can kind of like what you said, you can create your custom feed, and Instagram is like Twitter, but just with pictures. So that's why, because my dad doesn't even know what the Instagram like interface looks like. Do you?
You know what? I might have like an Instagram account that I set up for something, but I wouldn't even know how to access it.
Which is so.
Sometimes people will send you a message and it actually has like an Instagram. Is it like an Instagram link or something?
Yeah,
it's like, hey, check this out on Instagram, but it'll be in an email, and then you click on it, and it'll like say you have like an Instagram account.
Yes,
and it'll click on it. It's like, okay, now just put your password in.
Yeah. But you could technically look at Instagram without having an account, but it's like everybody just has one.
Why is that the next one? Like, if I was gonna, is that the next most popular? Is Twitter the most popular? No,
I think actually, I know many people who don't have a Twitter. Like Mariah kind of just recently got on Twitter. Huh. Or like they had it in high school and then they took a break in college and then like they made a new one because like their high school Twitter doesn't represent them anymore or whatever it is. You know what I mean? Because Twitter is, it's very specific. You know, it's just like short messages basically. Instagram is more visual. You can do videos and stuff like that too. There's the stories element, which is short bits of information that delete after, like they're pictures, but they delete after 24 hours. So like when I was just in the other room taking a picture of like a food thing, I put that on my story. I'm not like posting that in my feed. You know what I mean? Yes. So it will automatically delete in 24 hours from now. So I think that would make sense for you to get on, especially because Sal with lacrosse, he gets a lot of, mom gets a lot of her news from lacrosse stuff on Instagram and she has to show you, right?
And that's something where you have to set up an account and I would actually have like a picture of myself. And
no? You don't have to. You can.
Because I don't think on Twitter, I don't have a picture.
No, you could just leave it blank, same thing. But, and you don't even have to post anything. It's just like Twitter. Like.
Yes, because Twitter, I don't, I think I might have actually done like my first or second like Twitter, like where I either retweeted something.
You tweeted
or,
at the coach.
I tweeted.
He was like, how do
I just wanted to send him a message. So I don't know if I tweeted at him or what I did, but I basically sent a message. I never got any confirmation that he got it.
Yeah.
But I sent it out and I'm like, wow, I wonder if he's going to go look at my account and I don't have any information on it. I just want to look at everything else. Like,
yeah,
I look at Cuomo. I look at our
governor. Yeah, of course. You know, of course.
Different podcasts, celebrities.
Yeah, you said
that
the
I
stuff
follow.
You follow. Yeah.
So it's cool.
That makes sense.
Yours.
Yeah. What do you think of my Twitter? I didn't even realize, you guys, the other day we had this revelation where my dad was scrolling through Twitter and I was like, wait, do you like actually like see all my tweets? And he was like, oh, of course. Like,
I only see them when they come up as like, I guess like a new tweet would come up and it kind of pops up.
Oh,
I don't go digging.
Yeah. You're not like going through the,
no,
the...
I wouldn't do that. Just, it's almost like your privacy. I just,
oh, thank, well, thank you, Dad.
I'm not that person.
Yeah. I feel like you're not. I think that's, what do you think of them? I feel like they're like,
yeah, they seem, I think they're good. I mean, I think that, as long as you feel it represents you well, it's fine. I mean,
yeah,
because it doesn't seem like anything is too, how do I use, like, nothing seems too dirty.
No.
I'm not saying that you would ever do that, but I'm saying like, I don't see that. Like, are some of these mediums like things where people do inappropriate stuff?
I think anything could be taken that way. Yeah. I think Twitter, like there's definitely like worlds of Twitter that you can get into. Like you can get into like gaming communities on Twitter. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I'm playing Animal Crossing now and like I follow this guy who only tweets about Animal Crossing. And then now I'm seeing like that he's in like what he reposts about it and stuff. So it's kind of like you get into these subsectors. Gotcha. So they exist, but it's like you would have to find it yourself. It's not just going to like recommend you that, you know? Yeah.
So there's nobody controlling it. Is there somebody looking over it?
Well, there's trending on Twitter. Like that's why when people use hashtags, sometimes the goal of the hashtag is to get it trending. And then if enough people tweet with that hashtag, like a lot of YouTubers do it, like ask me anything, use the hashtag ask Brooke. And then if thousands of people are tweeting me questions and use the hashtag ask Brooke, which doesn't happen, I wish it did, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then the goal is that that would be trending in the US or eventually trending worldwide. And then people click on it. They're like, what is ask Brooke? And then they find me because of it. Or it could be something, usually it's political now, like coronavirus obviously is trending, stuff like that. So it could be anything.
If somebody's inappropriate on there, like bad, either doing a lot of cursing or just being inappropriate in general, is there some management?
Yeah, you could report. So, you could report things.
Oh, but there
is. Yes.
Yeah. Aren't like the people that run Twitter, it's not like they would be like, wow, this is inappropriate to take it down. Does that happen?
Yeah, if it's like really wildly inappropriate,
like nudity or stuff like that. Oh, I don't know who
like governs all that stuff. Yeah, that's a good question actually. Yeah, I think Instagram is the same deal. Instagram is more strict. There's some apps that are known for being more like I think Twitter lets more stuff fly.
So let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Let's say you have a, you know, now that things that you've gotten older, but let's say that you have, let's fast forward 5 to 10 years and you have kids. And now you even fast forward even further and you have a 12-year-old. You have a 12-year-old.
12? 12-year-old.
Say 10 to 13. All right. So she's an Isadora. Which one of those medias would you be okay with them being on?
I think Instagram for sure. And I think a lot of kids that age are on Instagram.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. They post, you know, pictures of stuff. I think about... Uncle George, one of my dad's best friends, he has a son who's like, he's got to be older than that now. But I remember he had an Instagram around that age. Like, it's just common. Like, that's really normal to post or TikTok is now what everybody's on.
Yeah. So when you were little, didn't you start out with like?
I started off with YouTube, honestly.
Yeah.
And then Instagram was not invented until I was in high school.
Didn't they have something too where they did little short videos and
Vine. That was in high school too, though. And that Vine was the TikTok of back then. I think TikTok you can have at a young age because it's pretty censored.
Okay.
And I think there's ways with all these, even YouTube too, that you could put it on like a kid friendly mode. But then it's like the balance. You don't want to be like that crazy strict mom. And like, I think a little bit of like exposure, like some random internet videos, like kind of makes like, yeah, you know, I remember when I was younger and like I would watch them in my friend's basements and we'd be like, what are we watching? Like nothing crazy, but it was like adult humor. And we were like, why are we watching this? Yeah. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess every family has their own, you know, level of that.
Yeah.
You know, like where, you know,
what's like,
yeah, because I'm surprised at some of my friends bringing up their kids and how they'll be like, wow, you know, we had a certain movie on and it got to the point where we had to stop. And I'm, like, yeah. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, nudity or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
No, there was a lot of cursing was coming on. I was like, wow, okay. Yeah. I didn't know, because my friends are not like that. Like, they're pretty rough, you know, raw guys. And they were like, yeah, there was some cursing coming up or it's just whatever. And we turned it off.
That.
I'm like, wow, I'm surprised.
Parenting really, it stresses me out to think about things like that. And I know that's like,
I used to say that too.
Oh God, really?
That it was stressful, but then it'd be like, you'd try to, you know, there's certain things that you'd try to like, keep away from the kids as far as language or content mm-hmm. or stuff like that. And then it would be like, it all just get thrown away as soon as they would go on the bus and go to school. I used
exactly.
to say the bus was the worst thing.
It was the worst thing.
You know,
thing.
Everything is good at home and then the kid gets on the bus and is cursing. There's every, you know,
totally.
The kids are nasty. They're starting to
fight. I learned all about rap music when I was on the bus. Right. I remember a kid sitting behind me. He was like, you listen to My Chick Bad? And he was like playing the song. Like, have you ever heard that song? My Chick Bad.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I've never heard this music
right.
before.
And that's where you could have a first grader with a sixth grader.
Yes.
That's a big span.
Yeah. And well, also, not first. First and fifth. Sal and I, he was in kindergarten and I was in fifth grade and we were on the bus together.
Right.
That's a big span.
That is a big span.
Yeah, you're right.
So the point is, there's probably a lot of cursing. So you can't curse, you can't do this, you can't do that.
Yeah, but
and then
3 seconds
later, he's
you're
on
right.
the bus driving down. You
don't
see
know what they're doing.
Through the bus windows driving past the house and
they're out the window.
Inside the bus.
Yeah, you're right.
So, yeah, I'm not saying that you want to have that in the household, but you know,
you're so right.
You protect them so much.
No, but I think you need exposure to like the outside world for like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, listen, obviously that's reality. You know what I mean? I tweeted that one time. I tweeted like I learned everything I needed to know from the middle school bus or something as a joke. Like, obviously it wasn't that extreme that I was like, I learned literally everything. But you learn more than TV teaches you. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, how did these people acquire this knowledge? I guess like they have older siblings or something. I don't even know how that goes down. So you guys, I'm sure, have tried the new Bud Light Seltzer. If not, okay, you definitely need to. I love the black cherry flavor right now. You guys, I just have them in my fridge. I've been drinking a few times a week, I will say, for all of my Zoom like little happy hours, or if I'm just kicking back on the couch with my fam. That's like my go-to drink right now. So you guys should definitely try the Bud Light Seltzer. Put it up against any other seltzer. I'm telling you, it will win. Bud Light Seltzer is 5% alcohol, only 100 calories, and tastes great. But also, new from Bud Light is Bud Light Lemonade. This is a premium light lager made with real lemonade for a refreshingly crisp taste. That sounds so good, you guys. So if you're looking to switch it up from Bud Light Seltzer, try the new Bud Light Lemonade. Bud Light is reminding you guys to please stay home to keep you and others safe. Bud Light Seltzer and Bud Light Lemonade both taste just as good hanging out on the couch or having virtual happy hour with your friends. That is what I love. You send a little Zoom link, say grab your Bud Light Seltzers, you guys. Let's hang. It's the best. So if you guys want to get a beer delivered to your door, head to drizzly.com and first time Drizzly users can use the promo code gals on the go, that's all one word, at checkout for $5 off. Some state restrictions do apply, but how cool is that, you guys? You can get beer delivered to your door. Go to drizzly.com. All right, so now that we talked about random stuff and social media, we didn't even like really address the basics.
How did I get here?
How'd you get here? Your age, where you're from, I guess.
I'm 50.
Big 50.
Yes, I turned 50 this year, which was a big one.
No, you're about to be 51, Dad.
I'm about to be 51, but I'm 50. I'm not 51.
Yeah. So you didn't turn 50 this year. You turned 50 last year.
I turned 50 in the year that we're in, yes.
No, you didn't.
But I'm still 50. I'm not 51.
But you turned it last year.
Okay, but I'm 50.
Okay, okay.
Don't rush it. So I'm 50.
No, I think 50 is a good age.
In my mind, I feel like I'm 18. I literally feel like I could still be in high school.
Really?
Right. But my body is a lot different than that.
Yeah, your hair has a different story.
Yes. I'm gray and I was bedridden for 3 days because my back was so bad. I was literally flat on a bed for 3 days.
I know. And then you still worked out anyways, but
I still exercise. Yes, I have to exercise because exercise is, yeah, it helps.
It's good for your mind.
It's
too.
Good for my mind. It's good for the body. I find that it's good. I'm trying to keep my body parts healthy.
It's great.
As I can.
So you're 50. He's a Gemini. 50.
I grew up. I was born in Queens, New York.
I didn't know you were born in Queens.
I was born in Queens, New York because my mother's doctor was there.
Oh.
Even though we lived out here in Northport.
Okay.
And then I ended up pretty much staying here my whole life. And then I went to, I went through all the schools. I went to the same elementary school you went to.
Same middle school
middle school.
Same high school.
Yes. And
were they all located in the same place still?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a pretty rare story, I feel like, you guys. So, like, we went to the same schools. Like, I grew up in the same town that my dad did. Obviously, different parts of town and stuff like that.
But it's a big town. So,
it is.
So, mom was in the same town. Other half of the town.
So different middle school, different elementary school, different middle school.
Different middle, but they all feed school. Into the same high school.
Yes. And how old were you when you met mom? Let's hear the story from your perspective.
So I guess I met mom, was I 16? I was probably, I met her actually twice. I met her the first time I was leaving a job, which was like a pizza place. It was that time in the year. It was probably the end of the summer, and I was getting ready to leave because I had to start two-a-days for football practice in high school. So that
they
was
did
like
two-a-days?
Yes.
They don't do that anymore, do they?
They do two-a-days every other day now.
Oh, my God.
We did two-a-days every day for like whatever it was, for like a 2 or 3 week period.
That was back when
so
the
I
team
was
really good.
And who walks in but mom with her mother?
Grandma.
I guess they were coming in for, I don't know if it was like a job interview or what, but she was walking in, whatever. I'm like, wow, she's attractive, you know?
Whoa. Yeah. Really?
She's wearing like a long, I remember wearing like a long sweater. Like, I'm like, huh, that's kind of weird, but it was like a sweater jacket. But you ever see these long sweater jackets? I still remember it. And I was like, wow, she's attractive. And then wouldn't you know it? I'm going to say, like, fast forward, like maybe a month or two, one of my buddies in school that wasn't on the football team. So this is like, that's the end of the summer, go through the rest of the summer, getting ready with football. And then we have our year or whatever, our season. And during that time, one of my friends says, hey, you want to go to somewhere in town, whatever. And I happen to see mom there. And I said to him, wow, that's the girl that I saw from the pizza place. And he says, oh, that's, that's Adina, whatever. She's my buddy, whatever. So
buddy.
He goes, if you want, I'll set it up so you could go over to her house with me one day. So, like, shortly thereafter, I went with Todd.
Yes.
Who was our
common
mutual
friend.
A mutual friend. And he took me over there and we talked. And I guess we've kind of been, we've been together ever since. So that was like maybe 11th grade.
You're a year older.
So no. So she was, because I met her and she actually invited me to her sweet 16.
She did?
She did.
Oh my gosh, you guys, this is such a broken story. Mom says she saw you across the commons.
Yeah, that's part of it too. That was a whole process. It wasn't like, oh, I meet you and then we just get married. I mean, it was like, I saw her, I didn't see her, and she was in the commons. Like at the high school we have.
Other schools don't have this.
They don't have it. No, but it's like it's literally
a common area.
It's the common area. So it's called the commons and it's like the hangout. 10th graders have their own little area.
They call them wells, but they're
called
like
wells.
Areas.
Like the hangout place. And some people would just literally be there all day. Like they would,
if you didn't
go
to class. Yeah. If you just didn't go to class, you just sit there.
No one stopped them. And it was.
So mom was.
She wasn't part of that, but she was, so I guess the story is a little bit muddled. Now this is some time ago, but there was the whole thing of me seeing her in the commons. And I always joked that she was wearing two tank tops.
That was like trendy back
that
in the day, though, right?
Yeah,
were so they the equal thickness or one was thicker than the other?
I don't know. They might have been like equal thickness or offset so I could see whatever. But
it
wasn't risque.
Yeah. I just mean for the trend. This was the 80s, though.
This was the 80s, yeah.
So
it turns out that was very early on. Like when I maybe first kind of just, we might've had like one conversation, and it was kind of like, we started to get to know each other, and it was right around the time that she had her 16th birthday. So would that have been 10th or 11th grade? When are you 16?
I was in, I was going into 11th, like 10th, yeah, so end of 10th, 10th grade. 11th, yeah. So mom must've been in 10th grade. Yeah.
And she invited me to go. I'm like, listen, and it was like maybe like 2 days later. So I wasn't formally invited.
It was like,
because I just kind
of
met her.
It was like a joke of an invite.
So she just had the thing, and I didn't, of course, I wasn't just going to show up. I'm not that person, you know?
Yeah. We've adjusted.
I couldn't have even got there. I didn't know that I had my license at that point. Unless maybe I did. I'm not sure, but it was early on.
You probably did, because you were a year older.
Yeah, it was early on. So I'm a year older than her. Right. Yes, exactly. So I don't think I said that. So I'm a year older. And then that was kind of it. And then we were together for basically from then, we've been inseparable from that point on.
It's very sweet. This is I think because I grew up with it, I thought that that was obviously whatever you grow up with, you assume is normal. So like, I'm so thankful that like I had such stable parents and like a stable relationship to grow up with. Cause I remember even going to college and having friends be like, whoa, your parents like really like each other. No, I've had that multiple friends tell me that. And I was like, yeah, like, of course they do. What do you mean? And I just thought that was normal. And other people were like, that is my, and I think everybody's normal is different. So I don't mean to generalize and be like, this is normal versus not, but I'm just very thankful for the way.
No, it's, yeah. It's kind of like hitting the lottery.
Yeah, I'm sure. Do you feel that way?
Oh yeah. Because what's to say that that would happen? I mean, with the, you know, the rate of divorce and people just not getting along, and it's not easy. You know, I'm not saying it is easy.
You're like,
it's
not
easy to find the right person. It's not easy. And I just happened to find that person at that point, and I wasn't going to let her go.
Totally.
And I think it was vice versa.
I think so too. That's what she says.
I'm the luckiest person in the world.
That's so nice.
I really feel that. I'm not just saying
that's really nice, Dad. I think that it is really great. Yeah. Because it's more so I see it too in like struggles of dating, then people get divorced and then they struggle to find someone else. So like in adults and stuff too. So it is really, you guys have a good thing going.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's good. We've made it through a lot. It's not always, I guess it isn't always easy.
Yeah. You know,
there's challenges, young kids,
of course,
new jobs,
financial,
you know, sickness.
Stuff. Yeah.
You know, unfortunately there's a lot, life is, you know, it's not for wimps.
I completely agree. And you guys went through a lot, like in your, I mean, we know that my mom's dad passed away.
What,
right after your wedding.
After we got married.
So
he was
crazy.
Sick at our wedding. It was but we had already been together for a long time before that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were together for 5 years and then we got married.
Mm-hmm. So
and
you knew
we
him
waited,
for
say, 5 years and then we had, you know, then we had you and, but yeah, so we had a lot of time together to build that bond and it was good. But back then people didn't really live together. So I don't know. I don't know who we were talking about. You know, we have some, you know, our cousins or I say your cousins and stuff. We talk about them moving in with their significant others and, you know, how do you feel about that or whatever? And I'm a big fan of it. I think it's really
good talked
thing.
About moving in together before. Cause I actually talked about it with them at dinner. Cause I was like, I mean, I'm not dating anybody right now, but I'm like, you know, eventually that day I want to move in with my person before.
You got to. I'm a big fan of it. I think that it's the best way to do it. I mean, I wouldn't say to do it after 2 weeks.
No, of course not.
But certainly that's,
and you have to be serious, obviously.
Yeah, you might be like with this person and basically be like, oh my God, his breathing is making me crazy.
Something so
or
stupid.
Or when you chew, you're driving me nuts or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that could be a game breaker. You don't know.
I always make the joke, like, what if he walks weird? I don't know why.
Yeah, but you
like,
would know that before you'd have to move.
No, I know. But like, what if like you just look at it one day and you're like, you actually do like walk pretty funny, like or something. Like.
Yeah, but you'll figure all these things out.
I know.
You're going to be able to filter out a lot of this stuff right away.
Yeah, there were a good amount of questions about like dating tips and stuff, but I honestly don't feel like. I mean, I think that you have great advice and stuff, but you and mom, like, luckily, you never really had to date in your 20s or anything.
I wouldn't be the person to ask. I could answer the questions about relationships, but not,
I feel like
dating.
You give great advice on relationships.
I cannot
relationships
answer a question
stuff,
about dating because it wouldn't be fair. I would just be,
yeah,
it wouldn't be good.
Are you guys the only people that you know out of, I guess, your friend group and everything that got married from high school?
Probably.
Wow, really?
I mean, if I think, I'm sure there's some other people.
Yeah.
You know, I know that a lot of the people that we live with now that are in our little, like in our village over here.
Yeah.
A lot of them are both from Northport High School.
And they got together afterwards?
And they certainly knew each other in high school. And then maybe they got married, you know, shortly thereafter high school, but they weren't necessarily together.
Yeah. I mean, I have a friend in my friend group at home now who they didn't even really know each other in high school. Now they're like really seriously dating. Yeah. So I always think it's interesting. Our town is like that, though. We're in a very like tight-knit community, but at the same time, big. I graduated with 500 kids, which I think is a pretty big graduating class.
I think so. I think I graduated 500 or 700.
Wow.
Yeah, big.
It's big. It's, but at the same time, you know, you don't know everyone. Obviously, I flipped through my yearbook and I'm like, who the heck are these people? Yeah. But a majority of the
you've
people,
seen them.
Yeah, you've seen them before and stuff.
And it's kind of like why the question that a lot of people will ask that aren't necessarily from here is, wow, you were born there and you stayed there and, mm-hmm. and you had kind of had your family and you stayed there. Like why? It's like, well, why leave? You know, it just happens to be one
totally.
Of those places. If I was born in, you know, blah, 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 and it wasn't really good, I'd be like, you know, I got to get out of here. But this is, to me, it was really nice. And yeah, you know, working in the city, it probably would have been nicer for me to live closer to the city.
Uh-huh.
But I think it's really great here, you know?
It is.
It's not the only place to live, but it's a very good place.
No, of course
not. It's really good. It really is. And you'll see when you travel and you come back, you're like, wow, it really is nice here.
Oh, I feel that way. Yeah. I see suburbs and other places and I'm like, oh my, where I grew up was not like this. Like, it's so safe here. It is so, the great community, you know, everybody really, I love how like mom was always friends with like my friend's parents and like everybody, like it's really, it's special like that.
Is it?
I think so. Cause I think of like my friends from college and some of them don't have that if they went to.
See, I don't know that. I just assume everybody's like that.
Yeah. Not many are. Some are, of course, especially if you went to private school. I have a lot of friends from college. I went to private school because school districts are, I don't know. It's also by choice too. Like Danielle went to private school, you know, so it's just by choice. Yeah.
But I would say that in regards to the community and living here, I love it. I really, mm-hmm. I really do. I like it a lot and I like the people and, but it would be interesting to live someplace else. And as I get older and now that I've turned 50 and my kids are going, you know, like you're done with college and Sal's going into college, you know, I think about possibly, you know, would be, maybe it'd be nice to, you know, go somewhere and spend 10 years in Florida or Phoenix or
Phoenix,
just someplace you know, warm. Like I'm just done with the cold weather and
This was a mild winter, but I know normally it is pretty brutal.
And I am retired.
Yeah. So we'll get into work stuff now, I guess, because we talked, I feel like, enough about mom and how you guys met. My dad's adjusting his back. we have our drinks. I'm drinking a Celsius. I was sitting on the couch before this. My dad was like, I feel like you're low energy. Like, so I was like, all right, cracking one open. And we've been doing this thing my brother taught me where when you crack open the can, you kick your leg at the same time. And if you get it on the right beat, it sounds like you're like,
yeah, I don't think I've seen that, but unless he's just been doing it the whole time and I never noticed.
No, that was new.
There's usually a lot of theatrics when he's doing everything.
Yeah, you're right. But he's also been sleeping until one.
Right.
So
yeah.
Anyways, so I guess now kind of like work stuff.
Work.
Because obviously that's another big part of life.
That is a big part. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about like college into
the college days. Okay. Are very short. Yeah, we could. That's one sentence.
Okay.
No, so I actually ended up playing some college football.
Mm-hmm.
And what I tell everybody is I went to college for one football season. So I went to Stony Brook, which is a state school.
Mom ended up going there too.
Mom ended up going to Stony Brook too. So I went to Stony Brook and I played football there and I did some general studies.
General studies?
I was just miserable. I was literally there just to play football.
Yeah.
And I was just a goofball and it didn't really work out. And I wasn't really... I wasn't really the scholastic type.
Yeah, some people school isn't for them.
I'm just not that person. Okay. You know? I'd rather work with my hands. And so I kind of, I was able to slide into like what I would call the family business.
Okay.
Which was carpentry and construction.
Okay.
And that's what I kind of did. And I always, even before I would do that at a younger age, I would do that as like a part-time job because my brothers, I have two older brothers. Mm-hmm. I actually have an older sister and two older brothers, but my oldest brother is 13 years older than me.
It's a big age gap.
Which was a lot. And he was, you know, sometimes considered like a dad. Not that I didn't have a dad, but people would say, you know, is that your son? You know, because they were
trying. Especially when you were young and he probably had like a stash and stuff and looked older. And then it was like, whoa, he really could be your dad. He went to
Oswego and he got a
SUNY Oswego.
Yeah, he went to SUNY Oswego. And he got a degree to be a teacher, but it was to be an arts teacher.
Oh my gosh,
what is that called?
Like wood shop, but it's like not wood shop though. It's tech.
Tech.
Yeah. So he got. We call it tech.
But it was something else. It was like shop. I don't remember, but whatever. He got that degree. Mm-hmm. He went and started teaching, realized that he didn't like teaching, and he basically kind of went into my Uncle Tony's business.
Okay.
Which was doing construction. And then he was doing construction. He, you know, occasionally I would help him when I was much younger, being 13 years younger. I was able to do a lot of construction with him on the weekends or at night or whatever. And I just took a liking to it. I was always good with working with my hands.
Yes.
So that was easy. It was easy for me to say drop out of Stony Brook mm-hmm. because, you know, I had something to do. And at the time I was able to make like quite a bit of money.
Yeah.
You know, I was making more money, and the way that I was able to justify it was like, I'm going to make as much money, or I'm making as much money now as my friends will after they graduate. I'll be making more than they'll make then.
Yes.
So it was like, I was justifying it, but still, you know,
were you happy?
I was, it's one of my regrets.
Really?
I don't have many. I have maybe one or two. And that's one of them, that I didn't finish that I didn't play 4 years and get a degree.
Really? Do you think your trajectory would have been different if you did, or like?
Not much.
Okay.
Not much, but it would have probably been easier in the later years. Cause then, you know, fast forward to me being on the fire department and wanting to get promoted to those next levels, I needed a degree.
Mm-hmm.
So in order for me to do that then, so now, you know, I'm a fireman now, fast forwarding to my career. I'm a fireman.
What age of life?
Oh, what age of life? I guess
I wasn't born yet, right?
No, you were born.
Oh.
Yeah. So when I first got on, you were born.
Okay.
But now I'm fast forwarding, say, like 6 or 8 years into it.
Okay.
And, you know, you're young. And then mm-hmm. I have Sal, who was a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting ready to get promoted to lieutenant, but I needed credit. So I had to go back to school. So I have a young family.
Mm-hmm.
I have a job. I have a wife that works and travels, and now I have to go to school.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So I had to do that
stuff.
At night. I had to actually do, you know, do like online schooling. So it was a lot. So it just would have been easier, you know, like if I would have gone through and actually done schooling the way you're supposed to do it, especially if my parents were going to pay for it.
Yeah, it just saves time and
yeah. So it would have just been easier.
And
it just would have been better. And you know, it's a regret that I still that's a regret that I have.
That everybody has regrets, I think. But
yeah, I think the goal is to finish life and really. Not to have any regrets or have a small list. You don't want it to be big.
Okay. Well, I think that's reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So firefighting, what drew you to that like line of work, I guess? Was that something that like since you were younger, you were like, it would be so cool to do? Or like you just got older and you're like, this is a stable career? Like what?
A little of everything.
Okay.
You know, for me, it was a camaraderie. Because mm-hmm. as you know, the camaraderie with a in the firehouse is
yes.
being on a football team.
Yep.
You know, I played football from when I was little all the way through and then technically in college, you know. So I always had that and I always wanted to be part of a team and, mm-hmm. and something bigger than I was. And couple that with being a hands-on guy, somebody who's good with tools and ladders and things like that, it was just kind of natural.
So it just kind of lended itself to, was everyone in your life like telling you to do it? Or
no.
Oh, really?
No. It was actually, we were at the point where we were maybe a year or two out of college, out of high school. And a bunch of my friends were like, hey, we're going to take the New York City, the NYPD test.
PD or FD?
NYPD.
Okay. So that's the police department.
Yes. So George, Darren, and a couple of us went in. And at the time I was signed up to take the fire department test too, but I took the police department test first. I took the test. And wouldn't you know it, a couple of months later, I got a call. And I'm saying, hey, you know, like we're ready to take you into the next level. We're going to start your investigation. Obviously, you passed the test, mm-hmm. whatever. We want to get you going on your way to becoming a policeman. And it was like I had to go meet with the guy and meet with my investigator. And I was laying in bed. I remember I was in my parents' house laying in my bed and saying, I don't want to be a policeman. I have no interest in carrying a gun. It just wasn't me.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually passed it up. And my friends went on to have careers as policemen. I said,
wow.
Yeah, it wasn't me. I didn't want to have a gun. Guns scare me. I don't like guns.
Yeah, we don't do guns.
Yeah, so yeah. I don't like guns. And so I just waited to become a fireman. Mm-hmm. And I really focused on that. It was my focus. So now I'm... It's a few years later. I'm kind of on my way. And I'm actually doing everything I can to, you know, get on the fire department. Meaning, you know, take like classes to help me,
yeah,
you know, get prep. In. Yeah.
It's like SAT prep, but like for a fire department. Yeah,
exactly. Yes.
Okay.
So it was a class I go like every Tuesday night, I would have to go and take the test.
Cool.
Take this class.
Do you have to pay for those?
Yeah, it was expensive. You had to buy a whole bunch of books. It was a lot of studying.
I remember, just a sidebar, like, I remember, I know for you, it was when you were studying to be a lieutenant and just for school. I remember all the time that you would, it would be like, oh, dad's doing like school and like studying and stuff. Oh, you go to the library and stuff. Yeah. And I remember I was like confused. I was like, what type of test? He's a firefighter. Like, what type of test is there involved in that? But it's a lot of written.
It's a lot of written, but it's, you know, you don't have to. Once you get on, you could, you know, a lot of, the majority of the guys will be a fireman for their 20-year career.
Is it usually 20 years? Is
yeah, so they'll, it, be, they so they'll be, you know, firemen for 20 years, and then a small percentage will say, you know what, I want to go on. And then there's those guys that went on way beyond that I did, you know. So, so I became a lieutenant, and then I was actually on a list to be a captain when I got, you know, when I got hurt, and I was able to go on. But then you got those guys that are real... the real sharp guys that go on and they'll just keep studying like that. They're always studying for their whole career. And then they'll go on to captain, to chief, and they'll just go on.
Wow.
And those guys are very impressive because they're so smart and they're usually so good at everything. They're just the cream of the crop, but they also, you know, they work hard at it. They study for hours, and the story is always the same. It's always the kids say, yeah, dad's always upstairs studying. And
really?
And yes. That's the common story is,
I didn't know
you know, we had Thanksgiving and dad, you know, barely came down to have some turkey because he was upstairs studying for 5 hours.
And I guess you kind of have to if you want to.
There's so much information and paperwork and codes and things, you know, fire code for New York City that you have. There's a lot of stuff to know.
Wow.
But again, you don't have to do it. All you have to do is get on the job, but that's a task in itself.
Hey, I'm Autumn Calabrese, and I have a question for you. How do you do life? I might be a superstar trainer, but I'm also a boy mom, sister, daughter, friend, and entrepreneur. You might think my life is all working out and cooking healthy, delicious recipes, but trust me, there is so much more to it, and this is it. This is all of those real moments you talk about with your family and friends. Ever wonder what else life has to offer? Bring your curious appetite and let's do life together. Subscribe now at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and PodcastOne.com.
So, there's also like, I mean, I don't want to get like too deep into it, especially with like just the times of the world right now.
Yes.
So we don't have to get into like the very sad stories. I just don't think people need to hear it, honestly. Yeah. But my dad was working during 9/11 and everything like that. And there's a lot of thank you messages, like literally overwhelming amount. So.
Where do you get these?
I asked on Instagram for questions.
Oh,
you don't have an Instagram,
gotcha.
So you wouldn't see it. But so many people wrote it, and they were like, thank him like so much for his service and stuff. So thank you.
Yeah, so that was a tough time, to say the less, you know, to say the least. It was a tough time. Having been in the company that I was in, I had just recently gotten into the special operations at that time. So I was in a company that didn't just serve a neighborhood area or a response area. It actually covered like whole counties, and we could actually go from where I was stationed in Queens, we could go into Manhattan. So we covered everything. Like if there was a special incident going on, we would actually go there. So, it turns out that I actually got off that morning, as you know. Why did I get off that morning? Because Brooke was a baby.
Sal wasn't born.
So how old were you in 01? So you were 3. So mom had to work. Right?
I was 4, I think.
Yes. Yeah, so you were 3 or 4. So the way that it works with firemen is that they actually work 24-hour shifts. How do they get a 24-hour shift? It's 9 hours in the day and it's 15 hours at night. So you kind of partner up with somebody else. You partner up with somebody else, and as a result, that makes up to 24 hours. So somebody would say, yeah, firemen are lucky. They get to work 24 hours, but it's really 2 shifts put together.
Gotcha.
And you can split it up. So what I did was I was able to split up my shift and I was able to work, you know, that the night tour, which would bring me into the morning and get you off at like 8, 9 o'clock in the morning. And then somebody else would come in to relieve you, which would be like your partner.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to get off that day. And you set your calendar
in advance.
With your partner. You set it in advance. And you say, you know, let's do the whole month of September. Let's do the whole month of October and map it out. And then I'll go home and tell my wife and family. And maybe I need off if I'm coaching lacrosse or I'm coaching football. I need off these days or I need off nights and vice versa. You kind of work it out with your partner. And that had to make up the time. So I needed to be off because you were going to be home. You were still in daycare.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it wasn't, you know, if that was a Tuesday, you might have gone on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and this was a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
So mom was waiting home for me to get home to kind of, you know, like she had to go to work. She had something to do in Connecticut.
A trade show or something?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So she was waiting, and it turns out that I was going to be delayed or whatever. So I'll make a long story short, I got relieved that morning by
someone.
Yeah, by someone. I got relieved that morning and was driving home, and I got relieved early. earlier than I normally would have. And on any other day, you'd be like, wow, this is great. I'm getting off early. This guy's here early and I'm going to go. And that's how it works. And I'm driving home listening to the radio, and it says that a plane hit the World Trade Center. And I remember being so angry. And I was angry because I was like, how am I going to miss this? I know that my company's going to go, and I don't want to miss it. Like, that's how like aggressive I just want. Yeah. And that's how we all were. We're like, darn it. Oh, we missed it. So then I kept driving and I said, all right, you know, like these things happen, because there's been a lot of incidents that have happened, you know? So then I drove a little bit further and I got to, you know, I was still in Queens, and I actually had to go and pick something up at the quartermaster, who was like the supply people. They give you your sweatshirts, your gear.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So I stopped there, and it turns out that I was able to make a phone call there.
Because there's no cell phones this time.
No, and I called, and I was able to call mom and whatever. And we kind of talked, and I said, I'm going to head back.
Wow.
And it turns out that then the second plane hits. I end up going back to the firehouse. And when I go back, we actually have another, because it was a special operations, we had actually like another apparatus there. So the guys went, my whole company responded to the initial call, went in. There was another apparatus that was there, and a bunch of us that came back, some guys that weren't relieved that morning and went home and came back, they were just home, and they're like, holy mackerels, they're going to need help because this is crazy. Two planes have hit there, have hit the World Trade Center. They responded back. We all got inside this truck, went into the Midtown Tunnel. We had a police escort. They closed the outbound Midtown Tunnel. With a police escort, they brought us all the way in. Right down to West Side Highway.
I didn't even know this.
Yes. And if we would have gotten there, I got there as the second. They said there was a collapse. There was no communication.
I'm sure.
Yeah, so there's no communication. There's no way to communicate. The only way you could communicate at this point was just handy talkie to handy talkie, which is almost like it's a very walkie-talkie. Short distance.
Oh, okay.
It's not like, you know, it's not going through a repeater. It's not going through a tower anywhere. All right. And it's not going to our dispatchers at that point.
Yeah.
It's just like, almost like if I was talking to you across our yard on like a little,
yes.
You know, it's called a handy talkie, but otherwise it's a
walkie talkie.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay.
So that's the only communications that we really had. So the last communication that we heard was when they had the first collapse was that there was a collapse. I didn't think it was a collapse of a building. None of us thought it was a collapse of a building. We just thought, okay, the 85th floor collapsed into the 84th floor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there was a minor collapse. We didn't really know anything, but you really couldn't see. So as we came out of the tunnel, you could just basically see that it was just a big cloud, and there was zero visibility, so we couldn't see anything.
Imagine.
So then when we parked and we got down, it was basically around the time when the second tower came down, but there was no visibility. Thank God we parked far enough away.
So you could see a little bit or not really?
You couldn't see anything. We had to park so far away that it was such a cloud that we couldn't even see anything. And as we do that, that's when the second tower comes down.
What did you even do?
It was just complete mayhem. You couldn't see anything. You didn't know what was going on. I was a young fireman at the time.
Yeah.
I was newly in the special operations. And I was like, holy mackerels. Like, I didn't...
You didn't even know what to do?
I couldn't... No. Not that I didn't know what to do. I didn't know... I guess I almost didn't know the severity of it. I just knew that holy...
Like, this is the worst case scenario?
Yes. Like, wow, what's happening here? You know, because there was no visibility. It was just... That was the main thing, was the visibility, and we couldn't breathe. So basically, when we got there, you know, and I'm not going to go into the details of everything, but the first communication that we had was, and it was actually nice to hear, was a chief that I knew of on the radio. And he was calling Maydays because he was actually getting calls from people that were, let's say, needed help or were trapped.
Yeah.
And we were, say, on the outside of this incident. And now everybody that's on the inside of it is calling for help. And that's where we kind of stepped in. And it just turned into 6 months of basically being down there. And you know, everything else is things that you could hear and see on the news. So I don't need to get into those,
yeah,
into
we
those
don't
details
need to.
Of it.
But it really was, I mean, like, it impacted...
Oh, my life.
You,
yeah.
Your
yeah.
life, everything. Like, yeah. I mean, we don't even need to. I hate when people make it so personal. They say, I'm affected. Like, I don't mean to do it like that. Obviously, you personally were affected, but.
I could sit here and give myself a pity party and all that stuff, but I'm one of the lucky ones.
He's alive. Yeah.
You know, I'm alive. And then, unfortunately, the person that I partner with is not here.
Yeah.
So that's crazy. You know.
It's so crazy.
Yeah. So unfortunately, that's, you know. Something that I have to deal with, and I have to, you know, just be thankful that I'm here and try and be a good person and live a good life. But I don't want to bring this situation down. So that's where we are. And I'm thankful for everything that I have, and I have a wonderful life. And, you know, that just had gone on for longer than expected, because being in the companies that I was in, we had to be down there for the whole 6 months, you know, until I was there at the ceremony when they closed it and they started to rebuild and stuff. So we were down there. Mm-hmm. We spent a lot of time down there, and, it wasn't necessarily the best of times, you know, cause we had lost a lot of guys from our firehouse. It was a lot going on. And at the time, remember, Mom was pregnant.
Yep. Very pregnant.
Yeah. So
at this point,
you home, that was considered a baby, 3 or 4.
Yep.
And Sal was pregnant.
Mom was pregnant. You weren't even trying to name him Sal, right? Wasn't that kind of after all of this you named him Sal?
It wasn't even a thought. You know, at that time, it was so many things. So remember, he was born in December.
Yep. This happened in September.
This happened
obviously.
In September. So she was pretty well pregnant.
Yep.
And now we're, you know, dealing with this tragedy and trauma, at, you know, with everything that's going on. So that was a really trying time.
Very.
And, yeah, and now we have this mess that we're in.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, okay, can I say something? I hate on the news when they compare it. Can we not? Like, yeah. I hate when they say, like, just for reference, this is the amount of people who
I don't understand the reference, because when you think about it, I mean,
they're two. This is a virus versus an incident, yeah, that
I guess just because
a terrorism.
Because honestly, I thought about that too. And I think that what it is that was considered the most horrible day, you know, like for New York, certainly, but not necessarily New York, for everybody.
Tri-state the area, States, but I know,
the
yeah,
United
the U.S.,
States.
Yes.
I mean, you know, it happened in Pennsylvania, Washington. It was. Just
I know,
bad.
I know, you're right.
So that was really just that was really bad. But that was like, when you look at the total on that, it was just under 3,000. I think it was 2,996, you know, total deaths. And then in the fire department, it was 343. So, but the total was like 2,996, just under 3,000. And what did I see today? Is it almost 41,000 people from the virus?
Yes, today, as of today, and this is April 20th.
Yeah. So the comparison is not, I don't appreciate the comparison, but.
I know. I think it's.
It's not belittling.
No, of course, this is very serious what we're going through. And now the fire department's dealing with it again. I'm sure you're hearing stories because they're the first responders. Yeah. And my dad actually said that he volunteered. I don't know how you would go back in. Your back is in such bad shape right now.
No, I would, though.
But
I actually called my friend who's actually the captain of my old company. And I just told him, listen, if you need me, either drive the fire truck or whatever you want me to do. I mean, I'll just sit in the house, watch and take the calls when they come in, whatever. If you're going to get to the point where you need to bring in, because early on,
I know they were saying the FDNY were just
they were
dropping.
Yeah. FDNY and NYPD were getting, you know, wiped out as far as their numbers, like just people, you know, one guy got it. And then the whole firehouse or the whole precinct was going. I said, you know, if you need people, put me on the list. I'll be there. I'll be the first one. Call me and I'll be there. You know, it didn't get to that point. It doesn't look like it. Looks like they have a hold on it, but it's horrible.
It's
really
bad situation. Bad.
It's a mess.
Yeah, it's really unsettling. And obviously, we're here on Long Island and dealing with it, and in its full effect. We know several people now who have had it, which is just so crazy when you think about it. Because I talked to my friends in Georgia, and they're like, "I haven't even heard of anyone having it." And I'm like, "I know. I could list like five names right now."
I know.
Isn't it? So, yeah.
But I guess it's because it's the tri-state area and it just, I mean, you know, because I have Uncle George's in Florida. And
yeah. They don't see it. Well, not in his area.
But they're under the same restrictions as us. But
totally.
But they seem to be okay. Although he said they are going out and they're wearing masks. And
mm-hmm. So are we, though. When you go to the grocery store, we wear masks. Yeah. But we were wearing masks before they told us it was, you had to.
Yeah. But now you're supposed to wear a mask. So I went out yesterday and the governor mandated that he wants everybody to wear masks when you're out in public.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was in the store yesterday and there was six or eight people and then one or two of them didn't have a mask on. And it's like, I don't want to start a fight with the people, but it really annoys me. Like I was like getting heated up. I'm like, should I get involved with this guy? Like, should I say something to him?
That's
it's
so
it's
not
just
you,
rude.
But it is rude. Yeah.
It's like, dude, okay. What's the reason? Is it that you feel you don't have it or you don't care?
Yeah.
It's courtesy to everybody else.
It
even
is.
If people say, well, the masks really don't do anything. Well, it must be doing something. Even if it isn't, just if they're asking you to do it, just your part.
Let's all do
Otherwise,
it.
Otherwise, go to the hospital and look at all the sick, dying people.
I know.
And all the healthcare workers. It's really, I mean, it's not good.
Yeah. I feel that about people who aren't like social distancing though, that are still like going out and like partying and everything.
Do
and
they?
I'm like, I know like people that are, I wouldn't say partying, but congregating in groups that you're not supposed to be and stuff. I'm like,
yeah, because I haven't seen that. I actually, well, I did hear somebody told me the other day that he was taking a walk around our neighborhood and there was like, he heard some noise and he looked up on, and I guess it was on the, over the weekend, and he saw like 12 people gathered together having what would be like a party. I'm like, all right, well, were they 6 feet apart? Maybe like I could see like if you have like a lawn party.
Yeah.
Maybe people, and people bring their own beer and sit there and hang out. He goes, no, they're all basically like congregating together at a party on somebody's porch.
Crazy.
It's just rude. I mean, if you really think about the healthcare workers and the amount of people that are dying, it's terrible. It's really bad.
It is really bad. But I agree. I'm glad that you feel the same way about the comparison. We could talk about lighter stuff now, but I want to say thank you for sharing that, and thank you for your service and everything.
It's something that, unfortunately, I don't really like talking about it that much. But it comes around once a year, as everybody knows.
The worst day.
September 11th, it comes around, and it's something that happened, you know.
It's literally the worst day.
I'm one of the lucky ones, so. What else you got for me?
And we're very thankful to have you.
Thank you, Bob.
We can pivot and make it a little more positive now.
Okay.
Since we got a lot of questions then about being a dad, and obviously then after this point, Sal was born. Raising a daughter versus raising a son, the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sure you were obviously very excited and blessed to have healthy children in both cases,
yes,
but
obviously,
you're a guy's guy. Let's face the facts. Like,
yeah,
you're like,
I think, you know, you mentioned before that we'll talk a little bit about this
childhood
maybe
memories
like 5 minutes before we had, I didn't even really know that we were going to get into any of this stuff, but one of the stories that I remember about you that kind of is like, you know, being I don't want to use the word a guy's guy, but like I was thinking that when I was thinking about how like when I had kids, like regardless if it was a boy or girl, it really didn't matter, but I would be involved with like being a coach.
Yes.
Doing sports and all that stuff. So when I had you, I was like, okay, so she's getting old enough, she's doing brownies or like
Girl Scouts. I did Girl Scouts.
Yeah, so she did all the girly stuff, and you would, I don't know, you even did you do dance and all that stuff?
Yeah,
too?
Yes.
But at that time, it was like, okay, they're doing a clinic for lacrosse in like Huntington, so I signed you up. I signed you up for the clinic of and it was lacrosse, and it was like three towns came together, and they had like a girls' clinic, and it was like once a week, and you'd get there and whatever, and I put you in that, and you weren't really too enthused about doing it, but you did it, you know.
Okay.
And you did the lacrosse. Do you remember this?
I remember doing lacrosse, like, but I remember it didn't last long.
No, you did. You didn't. It wasn't a season. It was just a clinic.
Was it literally just one day?
No, it was maybe like 6 or 8 sessions, and you went to them all.
Oh, I did.
Yeah. You went to them all.
Were they at like Pulaski? Like
no.
Okay.
It was down
Pulaski.
It was in Greenlawn. So it was in one of those.
Okay.
It was one of these middle schools or whatever, and everybody got together, and I just remember you being there and being like, You didn't really seem
what?
You didn't really seem to know what was going on.
Yeah.
As much as like you and I would have a catch and whatever.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Attempt to have a catch, you know, but you didn't take to it. Let's put it that way.
It wasn't my
it wasn't
thing.
Your thing. But it would be funny. Like, and we used to laugh. Like I got to the point where I'm like, all right, at this point in her life, it's not her thing.
You let it go.
I let it go. But it was funny because it'd be like, I always felt like the game or you know, like the ball would be in one place and it would be like, and it would be happening and you would be maybe in like a totally different area, like kind of running around doing your own thing. And I'm like, at least she seems to be having fun. Like she, like you, you know, you weren't like upset or angry, but you didn't really have any clue as to what was going on. So then fast forward maybe sometime to like within the next year or so, and I was driving home from work and there was a sign in our town that said, you know, sign up for the local soccer club. And I'm like, oh, this is amazing. I'll be a coach. Well, I don't know anything about soccer, but I'm sure I could figure it out. I'll be a coach and I'll sign you up. And I go, Brooke, good news. We could sign up for soccer and I could be the coach and, you know, I'll coach your team. And I just remember you going, Brooke Michio is not playing soccer. And I was like, what? And she goes, and that became like the joke of it. She's like, no, Brooke Michio is not playing soccer. You don't want to play soccer. You don't want to play anything. I was like, okay. Like I wasn't going to push the issue. So you did at an early age, you didn't.
Sports
really,
were not
you
my
didn't,
thing.
No, you didn't like sports. You were not into sports.
Yeah. I mean, I decided pretty early though.
Yeah.
It's so funny now that I'm like older and I like go to workout classes and stuff and people see that Sal's and they're like, oh, you're like a sporty, like if you don't know me and you meet me now in life, like people, like I meet friends and they're like, oh, you must, like, what sports did you play in high school? I'm like, what are you talking about?
Bully.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah. But you know, in retrospect as a parent, it doesn't matter. Like it doesn't matter if you do that. Like I'll talk to like younger parents now. And say, as long as they're into something,
yeah,
you have to have some interest, you know, be it skateboarding,
theater,
computer, theater is excellent. You know, I have my buddy who we call Uncle George. He has a son, mm-hmm. you know, like an only child. And we talked about sports and like, you know, I don't know how much when it was, he is now he's, you know, I don't into know if you sports. Know this, but he's more into sports
yeah.
now and he's
yeah,
doing well. But early on, he was mentioning that he was into, I don't want to use the word theater, but he was into theater or acting or singing. I go, that's amazing. I go, that's what he should be doing. Do stuff like that because that's
so
really
great.
Good for
it
when
keeps you so busy.
Totally. And it's very good to be outgoing this way. It's just going to help you in life.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to be the person like me that's going to be like, oh, my God, you have to give a speech and now you want to hide under a table.
Yeah.
You know, so for...
It definitely helped.
It's very good. It molded me.
I did a lot of theater growing up and it totally molded me.
Yes. It's a strong attribute to have if you feel comfortable doing mm-hmm. that, you know, getting up and talking. So... As long as they're into something.
I like that.
You have to have something.
Yeah, because otherwise, what do you do? Yeah.
I don't know. But it's not all about sports. Whereas there was a time in my life where it was like, you have to just do sports. Like sports is where it's at. And it's not.
Yeah. I think it's cool to find your thing.
Yeah, so you found your thing. But you found your thing at an early age. And I always appreciate it. I might not have been totally into it because I didn't know anything about it. But mm-hmm. I was certainly felt like I was mentally and supportive of it, mm-hmm. of you doing it. And I thought it was really cool that you did, you know, you did your thing. I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
YouTube and stuff, you mean?
Yeah.
Or just.
No, but we used to make your videos with your friends.
Yeah.
And yeah. I mean, that was. Because that was early on. Like, how old
were you?
That
was like middle school. That was honestly like end of elementary school.
Were you like 12?
Yeah. I remember I begged for a computer.
Yeah.
At like a pretty young age. Like, I was definitely the first of my friends to get like a computer. I got like a PC and I started making videos on the PC, but then I got a Mac finally. And that's like elite for like, because it comes preloaded with the video editing software and everything. And the webcam and everything, so you could film everything from there. So that's what really launched my career.
Yeah, and then I mean, I feel like I watched every one of those videos multiple times.
Oh yeah, the skits and stuff we used to do.
Yeah, the ones with all your friends.
Yeah,
like,
all my friends who like I'm still friends with. Like
yeah,
they were my birthday parade. Like
yeah, you were putting on like little movies almost.
Yes. They're horrible. They were
very entertaining, though. Yeah.
Oh, so I don't know how I thought of like the concept behind these, like the fact that I was directing, producing.
That was impressive.
Thank you.
But you seem to take to all that stuff very early on. So there was definitely, you had interest more so than other people did at that age, like even with the computer and all that stuff. I mean, we have pictures of you when you were literally a baby and like on mom's computer, like using it.
I remember I remember when we would go to grandma's house.
Yeah.
With Shelly and like we would play, they would set me up and I loved the video game on their computer or the computer game on their computer, whatever. I loved computer games, like even the educational computer games, like, oh my gosh, so my jam. I loved it.
Yeah, but you were basically like, whenever you had started on a computer, you basically blew by me right away. Like you knew more like at like 4 or 5 than I actually knew on the computer. Like if I had a question, I would ask you.
I think that's anyone, any kid now, if you grow up in this generation, you know, well, that's just my argument, at least.
Yeah,
I guess we'll end with, then we talked about how you're not really like all my stuff, but what is your opinion of like, I guess kind of me through the years doing this? Like, did you think when I was genuinely, like when I was in 9th grade, like making videos, did you ever think that like, this is where we would be today?
No.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. No. And that leads me to like a thought that I had, you know, recent, mm-hmm. of you graduating, mm-hmm. which is amazing.
College or high school?
When you graduated college.
Okay.
I thought that this is great. You know, you're graduating college, you went to a great school, you're smart, you always tried hard, and then you got a good job. And then when that, when you weren't too enthused about your job and you wanted to leave, my first reaction is, no, you have to keep working.
Yeah.
And then it took a little while, and then you kind of were like, I'm really not digging this all that much. I want to do my own thing. And then when I kind of just sat and thought about it long enough, I said, you know what? Who am I to say that this isn't an avenue to go down by doing all the stuff that you're doing that you can't be successful? Because if you would have asked me that when you were 12 or 13, I would have said, what is she wasting her time for? I mean, yeah, this is fun. It's a nice little hobby.
It was
who am I to say?
My time.
I don't know about all these different mediums that they have now. And, and it is, what's to say that, that you can't be, you know, a 30 or 40 or 50 year old woman doing this and being successful. I'm the foolish one to think that you can't. So now, because you have a degree, you could always get a good job if you needed to.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice, you know, safety net, but I have to say, I think it's amazing. That's why I'm supportive. Hopefully you understand that I was supportive.
Of course. Yeah. No, I completely feel that way.
Yeah.
I think it's so crazy. Like I to even try to think about it through the lens of someone that isn't on social media, like you probably don't know much about YouTube in general.
I do though. I mean, I know it from seeing, you know,
and from
you,
me explaining it now.
Yeah. And in the early days when you were, you know, editing and chopping up the film, but it was, you know what I mean? Like when you would do your thing, like it was very cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm totally for it. And I mean, I see how that you're successful at it, and you've made it a business, and that, you know, you're not just, you work hard at it, and it's good.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And it seems it's nice. And I'm all for that whole cliche of, you know, like, you got to do what you love and all that stuff. You really do. I mean, life is short. You know, you better, if you don't really love what you do, it's kind of stinky. You know, you really want to enjoy what you do. Like I loved what I do. I know your mother loves what she does, and hopefully you do. I mean,
totally.
I think about these people that do the grind and they're just miserable and they're driving their car every day. And I'm like, oh my God, how do they do it? How do you, that's just not a good life.
And then they even admit that like they don't enjoy it, but like, they're like, what's the other option? And it's like, what do you mean? There's infinite options. Yeah.
Yeah.
But just to do something that has, you know, a really high salary, but if you genuinely hate your life, like it's hard for me to think about that too.
But then it comes down to a lot of other things too. Like it's not, you know, what do you put first? You put money or happiness first, you know? And I think it's finding that balance. And it's like, I even say to your brother all the time, it's balance. Everything, life is about balance. And you can't just be money, 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 money.
Of course.
You're not going to be happy. But if you could find some balance of, you know, I'm happy, but I'm making enough money, I'm getting by and whatever. But happiness is it's a major component to it. It's really big. Trust me, I've had jobs coming up where I was doing things that I didn't really, you know, and I know what it's like to not necessarily like what you do, and then finding what you really like.
That's great.
Yeah. So we're the lucky ones. You know, we're getting to do things that we like, you know.
Totally. I'm glad I started when I was so young, because I kind of had that like discovery phase with it and everything, and it wasn't as risky. I know, even with quitting my job, because every job I've worked at, and remember, Mom, and you said it, like you guys were like, well, what if you quit and then you're not happy again? It's like, this has been something that I've been working on since I was, you know, 12. Yeah, like, and I know that I love it.
And with that being said, you're also lucky because you have people that support you and make it. Like,
of course.
There are all those people that are doing that grind every day, driving down 495, going to work every morning, coming home every night, where it's like, you know what? They would like to change their situation, but they can't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, I'm unhappy in my job or in my life, but how do I change? I got to keep paying my bills and paying my rent. I'd like to do something else and I can't, because they don't necessarily have a safety net, I'll call it, or supportive people around them. Or maybe they are the supportive people in there.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, it's like what society thinks of you too. It's like if you're a business person and you drop out to pursue being an artist or something, it's like you're definitely looked at. Like people are like, why did he leave that like good job or whatever? You know, it's like kind of how society looks at you too, right?
Well, after doing this podcast, I'm thinking of maybe, you know, getting into the podcast world. No, <I'm kidding.
laughs> He's going to start a podcast. Like, yeah. Salmaccio knows best. You could borrow my equipment. No, it wasn't that bad, right?
No, it was good. I mean, I was kind of waiting, you know, to be asked to do it at some point. I mean, I figured that you would ask. Yeah.
We did everybody. And then I remember the messages started coming in kind of as we came home for all of this. Like, I remember I was like, oh, I'm coming home, and Danielle was going home too. We're like, let's do all the dads, but you're the first one. So,
oh, I am.
Yeah. Danielle's going to do hers with her dad, by the way, you guys, in a few weeks, I think, if you're looking for that and stuff. We wanted to space them out just so that we have some like regular content in there too. But this was so much fun.
Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it.
Good. And I would say like you can plug your stuff, but my dad doesn't have social media.
No,
I don't follow my mom.
No, there's nothing to plug.
No problem.
Your stuff.
Yeah. Well, we're at Gals on the Go podcast. I'm at Brooke Michio. Please get me to 100K on Instagram. Seriously, if you guys are on your phone right now, please. I know that you don't all follow me. And if you made it to the end of this podcast, please. I got a message the other day. I like went off. That was like my thing that I did. Mom tell you what the message was?
No.
It was like, your voice is annoying. Danielle is better. And I like replied. Whoa. And then, but then she apologized. I replied. I said, like, what did you get out of this message? And then she replied and was like, everything. And then I screenshotted it and posted it. And then she replied, like, sorry, I've been going through a lot. Yeah. I was like, okay.
Yeah, they had to take it out on somebody.
Yeah, I know. I just can't imagine ever being so angry in your own life. Like, I guess I've done it where I comment on people's stuff, but I've never been like, you're the worst. Like, I would just say something sarcastic and funny. You know what I mean? But the
fact
that
you just piss them off at the right time.
Yeah. And I don't, I mean, I hate to be like, oh, this person's like an evil person, but like, you don't know what's going on in their life. Maybe they had like a really bad day and they're like, God damn it, I hate her voice. Like, right. They hit the breaking point.
Yeah, but you know, at least they were big enough to admit that, like, wow.
No, but it was after I posted it, so I think that's why, because then she's embarrassed. Probably her friends were sending it to her, gosh, like, you.
So when she apologized, does everybody see that she apologized?
I wrote that she did. I was like, she apologized now, but.
No, but when she apologized, did she apologize so everybody could see it, or just you?
No, just me. But she probably was just like embarrassed.
Yeah, but this probably goes on all the time, right? Not just with you, but I'm saying in general.
Oh, with everybody. Just, yeah.
You can't win.
No, that's part of the life too.
Yeah, but if you're going to, like I
you put yourself out there though.
Yeah, like I always have told you, if you put yourself out there, you know.
You guys have always said that to me.
Right.
I remember, what was it about? It was like, I was like running. Oh my gosh. It was in fifth grade when I was running for, what was it? Secretary, right? Was it secretary that I was running for?
Yeah, well, vice, was it?
VP was in high school. Secretary, yeah, secretary. It was
that eighth grade or seventh grade?
Secretary was fourth and fifth grade. I got it in fourth grade. And then in fifth grade, I was running against
the posters. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. The Vote best posters. Wait, we dig those up, please. Let's please dig those up. That would be such good content.
Yeah, we must have them somewhere. I think I've seen them. Yeah. The posters.
Oh my gosh.
No, and then didn't somebody say something about you or something? Or they were...
No. And then I ran against this guy and he did really good. And I like went on the side and I started crying because I thought he was going to win.
Yeah.
Because I was like, that was like the best speech ever. And everyone was cheering.
Yeah. But
for
he also said like he's going to put soda machines in the school. Like he was saying that things, like... soda machines and candy machines, things that could never happen.
And everyone was like,
yeah.
Like, and then I started crying. I did leave a legacy on the school though. I told them to, they still do it when
do
school's
they?
In session, birthday announcements. That's special. So I brought the idea. I was like, we're going to do birthday announcements. So like we got like a cohesive list, you know, like from the administration. And I've never been good at pronunciation, so I didn't want to do that. But I think they like nominated people to do them. And you'd say like, you know.
Oh, it wasn't the same person every day?
There was this. I think at one point I was the speaker because I remember like writing down the names. Oh my gosh. Yeah, and they're like, oh,
I think
Brooke Mitchell was here to do the birthday announcements.
It's
and
a nice thing.
I loved it. And like, because when you're in class, you feel so special.
Oh, yeah. I don't see why they don't do it.
Especially in like an elementary school. It's small. Yeah.
But that was middle school, right?
No, that was in elementary school.
Oh,
I know. I was a visionary
school.
In fourth grade.
Wow.
Politics.
You left your legacy there.
No, but I remember you guys were always big on like you put yourself out there. Because like, I was giving speeches in front of the school.
Right.
And like I remember just being like, oh, like people, or even when people would talk about me and stuff. And you guys always said that, even with YouTube and stuff. You know, you put yourself out there online and offline.
Yeah. You got to have thick skin.
That's like life in general, though.
Oh, yeah. They say, like I said before, life is not for wimps.
Woo. Should I title the episode that?
No, but it's true.
I know.
You got to be tough, man.
I know. There's a lot of stuff.
Especially with all this stuff going on now. You got to be tough.
I know. All right. Well, we're thinking of you guys and sending you lots of love from my family to yours.
Brooke, I love you. I'm proud
Dad.
Of you. And keep up the good work.
Thank you, Dad. Gals on the go forever. Bye, guys.
Bye, everybody.
Happy Earth Month, you guys. I love that I can shop sustainably at Macy's. I actually really appreciate that a big brand like Macy's is supporting small changes to make a big difference. So, you guys want to join in on the fun? You can join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. You can donate online or in store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose. I think this is such a cool idea, like turning old schoolyards into green spaces. That's so exciting. I feel like more and more we're needing to go outside, so this is perfect, and I love Macy's for that.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.